And I thank him for the privilege to come in, not only to speak on his behalf, but to come into his presence and worship with fellow believers. You know, I told Stanton last week, we were talking after service, and we were talking about, like, if one part of the body's mourning, we mourn together. If one's rejoicing, we rejoice together. And how we kind of nurture that once the lame part, you know, and we lift it up and we help strengthen it. And we need one another. They're telling me to put this microphone closer to my mouth, so. But we need one another. And I just thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. And I want to share a message that's been on my heart. And without the Holy Spirit, it'll just fall deaf. And I just pray that he helps me to bring this point out. We're going to read a common scripture everybody's familiar with. It's in Acts chapter 3. We'll start with verse 1. But the reason I chose this verse was because I feel that there's people that want the reality of Christ. They're looking for the answer. And I meet them every day. I met a man Thursday, and we're going to bring him to church. We're going to go get him. But he asked on the way to church, on the way to where I was taking him when I was driving the carts bus, I told him, I said, I go to church just down the road. And he goes, would you mind someone else going with you? You know, we get these opportunities and we can't take them for granted. And a few weeks ago, I brought a guy that same way. He came in with me. I met him driving that bus, you know. But we'll start with verse 1 in the book of Acts, chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. I used to think this was the first miracle, I guess, after Pentecost. But in chapter 2, verse 43, it said, fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So immediately, once the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, there was healing for those that were lame. There's a spiritual healing, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. There was salvation. We were restored back to the Father through Jesus Christ. Now, on this story, when Peter and John are going up to the gate, an alms is a benevolent gift that's given to the poor. It could be food, money, clothes, but it's not anything that gives life. It's just something that'll kind of sustain life. It'll sustain them through the day. So we have this guy, and they're laying him at the gate. It said he was lame from birth. And they laid him at the gate. I don't know how old he was when they began to do this, but they began to bring him. And they were going in for the sacrifice. And it just sounds typical of what I've lived in the past, and I don't want to be this man anymore. It's, you know, the church goes to pray, he comes to beg. The church goes to pray, he comes to beg. Church go to a prayer meeting. But we pass up these people that are begging, and they're constantly, we pass the lame. But we feel we've done something if we've just given an alms. And that was one of the things I wanted to challenge was, are we just alms givers? Are we giving what we have? You know, I heard a pastor say in his church, he said people would come up, they'd listen to one or two sermons, and then they would come back and then they would start asking questions. What do you have for old people? What do you have for the young people? What do you have for married people? What do you have for divorced people? You know, and he said, we've got the same Jesus Christ for everybody that walks through that door. There's no other attraction than this cross. And once it is, then it's kind of like what Stetton's been preaching the last 3 weeks. Jesus is on the outside of that door knocking, wanting to come in. Because when he's here, there's a fullness of joy and there's peace. And I love it. I love you guys. So I'm not correcting anybody. I'm correcting myself. But he was laid at the gate daily in front of the gate, beautiful. And I was wondering, why was he outside the temple? I went back to Leviticus and looked, and sure enough, there were some regulations. But when I was praying about it, I turned, and you don't have to turn here, but in Matthew, let's see, 21:14, it says, when he got onto the money changers, it says, and he said to him, isn't it written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So see, Peter and John, when they were walking and they saw this guy, most of the church passed every day. Now, they didn't do anything wrong, but they felt comfortable just giving an alms, just something. But if they knew Christ, those people that were in the temple saw the lame people healed earlier when in Matthew, where it talks about Jesus healing the lame. So that's what Peter and John did, I guess, is what I'm trying to get at. Lord help me. When Jesus walked this earth, he was the meeting place of God. If you wanted to meet God, you met Christ. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and we become children of God, now Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Amen. We're on this earth representing him. So now we become the meeting place of God. And we can't push that responsibility on anybody. That's a privilege to be the child of God. So I want to go, Lord help me with this. I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 4. And I imagine this message is going to be a short one. This is kind of what I see in the world today. Miss Betty mentioned it Sunday after service that she felt people are going to be coming. They're going to be coming to this church. They're going to be healed. God's going to deliver them from addictions and bondages. And that's what I'm seeing. And I see the same thing. And that's why I was saying, you know, about an alms giver. We've got to be more than that. I meet people every day when I'm driving the carts bus. And I met a woman a week or so ago. And she said, you know, I didn't know the truth about God until I was 50 years old. Well, then I began to ask, she didn't know the truth at 50 because she was the type church, I guess you would say. It's not really a church, a gospel church. But they gave her a foundation, but she never heard the reality of Christ. She never experienced it. Brother Bobby, you quoted Isaiah. Now, we're going to read in Jeremiah, but you quoted Isaiah chapter 6, the year King Uzziah died. Here, I would. Can you pull up Isaiah 6, verse 1? I may have messed him up.
In the year that King Uzziah died,
yeah.
I saw the Lord high and lifted up and seated on his throne. Verse 1.
Yeah. And above it stood the seraphim, verse 2. Each one had six wings. With it twain, he covered his face. With it, With twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, Isaiah went to that temple every day. He went in, he went out. He was raised in that. He felt comfortable going to stand before God, giving sacrifices. But the year King Uzziah died, he realized he had never pressed in to know God. He knew everything about him, but he didn't know God. And I think that's the reality for all of us. The closer we draw to God, the more we see who we truly are. And under provocation, my flesh reacts wrong. But I'll find something inside of me that God wants to deal with. Because he also says in the scriptures, it says, Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, and when we go to represent a holy God, it's not that we're perfect, but he's perfect.
Amen.
You know, and I've used this illustration before with some of the guys when I would counsel them. But let's just say we were hiking or something, and we came across something that was buried from the 1700s. Let's say it was a whiskey decanter. Still got whiskey in it, got a cork in it, but it's an ornate bottle, just beautiful bottle. I could take that cork out and pour that out, wash it real good, maybe fill it with water, take that home, put it on the table, put flowers in it, and then it would be a beautiful vase, right? See, what gives a vessel its worth is what it contains, you know? So if we're filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, he's going to lead us and use us for his glory, to lead others to him, to lead them home. And I just wanted to say that with Isaiah, he truly didn't know God in the way he knew about him. I'm not saying he was wrong, but God gives each one of us a privilege to press in.
Amen.
And the more we press in, the more we can receive of God. My father used to tell me all the time, he'd say, Son, you can have as much of God as you want.
Yeah.
But I didn't, to be honest, I didn't really like that example, because I thought, well, I don't get a piece of God. But I was reading a book, and by A.B. Simpson, and he described it this way. He said it's like a man finding a bottle in the ocean with a cork in it. And the man removes that cork, and he pushes it under the water, and he lets it go. The water will fill that bottle, and it'll just drift and drop all the way to the bottom of that ocean. Well, it'd be foolish to say that that bottle, you know, contained the ocean, held the ocean. It couldn't. The reality is it was filled with the ocean, and the ocean contained it. And that's the way it is with God and with us. So our prayer and our cry should always be, Lord, enlarge my vessel, so as you get more of him that we have to share with others. And Jesus said, freely you receive, freely give. Jeremiah 50, verse 4. Yeah, we got it. Well, I can't see around. I'll get over here so I can see. In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping. They shall go and to seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, Come, and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant. That perpetual covenant is Christ. That shall not be forgotten. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. And all that found them have devoured them. And their adversaries said, We offend not, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. So the reason I wanted to read that is, in that time, they're coming out of Babylon, is what God was saying. There's people that are captive right now. There's people in my family, there's people in yours, that are captive, that are bound. And they're going to come out of that. But what they want is not to hear about Jesus. They want the reality of Jesus. Amen. And you know, me and my wife were talking, but only thing we can give, like we said, when they come in and they want to know what we have for the different programs, it's not the programs, it's that cross. And the only thing we can give is Christ, but we can't give what we don't have. We have to stay at the throne of God. And the last 3 weeks, as Stetton preached about feasting, you know, and when we read, we say the Lord's Prayer, we say, give us this day our daily bread. That's Christ. Is what it is. It's not just, Lord, meet my needs. Jesus himself said, seek the kingdom of God and these things will be added, because your Father knows you have need of them. So give us this daily, today our daily bread. Give us Christ. Yeah. Some of my notes I could have went back. Well, I'm going to turn to another scripture, Ezekiel 33:30. And I want to use this scripture. I had these together, but I want to use them because I've been in the different places. I've been the alms giver and just satisfied with the alms. I've been the one that I was raised in church. My dad was a minister. I've seen the power of God, and I've seen God move. But I never saw the train that filled the temple, you know. And the day I met Christ, the day that it was a reality, I saw who I really was. And it's kind of like Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans when he says, the things I don't want to do, I do, and what I don't want to do, I do, and what I want to do, and so forth. He's just... or don't want to do seems like what I do. But what Paul's really saying there, he gets to the point, he says, who can deliver me from this sin and death? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So we have an answer. Ezekiel 33:30. It's just a couple of verses. He says, also thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the wall and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear your words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goes after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them a very lovely song, one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And then he goes and says, it will come to pass, and they'll know that a prophet's been among them. That verse, those verses there describe a church that I'm not going to say the American church, but it's a church that loved to hear the word of God. They loved to be in the presence. And I don't want it to be us, you know. I don't think that I see Christ everywhere. But us as a church body, I don't want us to ever get to that point. It says they come in and they go out and tell their friends, listen, you need to come to Neesmith Church. You need to come and listen to Pastor Stetton. I mean, it's amazing. And then they come in. But are we doing something with what we receive? Amen. Are we passing up the lame as we go to the prayer meetings? Yeah. You know, well, he said here, he said, told Ezekiel, he said, they treat you as a love song. They love to hear it. It's so beautiful. But then their heart's not really to do it. And we know, what is it, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ. Well, if you go back to Philippians 2:13, it says it's the Father, it's God that gives us the will and the desire to do. So once he puts it in our heart, then Christ can accomplish it. I can't do anything on my own. Only Christ. Man, I thank you guys for letting me come up here this morning. I had a million things to say, and it seems like I just went right through them in just a matter of a few minutes. But let me see. I'm just looking at my notes. Yeah. when I'm going back to the lame man just real quick, and then I guess I'm done. But that lame man, when he was outside the gate, when he was in front of that temple, and he saw the people coming by, he didn't go to the world. He went to a noble place, you know. He went somewhere that he knew could give alms. And churches, they're notorious. They can raise some money. If they want to do a cause, they'll raise some money. But he was in a place. But the real answer was to meet Christ. And people were so comfortable. He's come from his youth. So if a baby's born and then he gets to a certain age, let's say his name's Johnny, every time you pass by that temple, you'd say hey to him. You were used to it. Every now and then you might give him a little something. But you were going in to pray. But now we have the authority of Christ in us.
Amen.
And we have to walk in that authority. If we represent him, you know, we can only do what he allows us to do through his Holy Spirit. He'll direct us and he'll bring us. I really believe it's time. He said, Stetton pointed out last week, that he's prepared a feast in the wilderness. And that feast is right here in this church. It really is. And we need to go and invite all the lame, the maimed, the people I met. I'll be honest, the man that asked me about taking him to church, we're going to have to get him in here. I mean, he's coming. But he was an alcoholic, and he's kind of rough, and he's kind of, but that's the kind that God uses. That's the one he changes their lives, you know. And this man's almost 70, or he may be 70, but he said he just wandered all over the country. That's all he'd ever do. And he told me Thursday, he said, I'm ready to go again. But he said, I don't think I'll live through it this time, you know, at his age. And then that's when he asked about church. He said, well, maybe if I get around some good church folk, you know. Well, right now he's looking for an alm. He's not really looking for Christ. But hopefully we'll be able to give him that,
amen,
you know.
Amen.
And there's others that we're praying for. But we need to be that light. Jesus said his house was a house of prayer for all nations, and we're not going to exclude anybody. We're going to go. I'm not going to read this parable, but I'm going to just kind of reference it real quick. It's something I was reading the other day, and because I had read about the blind and the lame, they came into the temple and Jesus healed them. And I read the chapter 22, and he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, and there is a king, and you know, and they bid the people to come to the marriage, to the wedding feast. And then when they came, he remembered anyway, he sent them out, they brought everybody in. And then there's a guy that doesn't have on a wedding garment. And it kind of threw me off a little bit, and, you know, there's different ways you can look at that. But the man didn't have a wedding garment on. He felt that he was right with God. He felt that he deserved to be there, so to speak. And the king with Jesus, you know, comes up and says, friend, why don't you have a wedding garment? And we know that his salvation wasn't real. He thought he was good enough, or he thought, but I thought, Lord, a lot of people have blinded people. When I was a counselor over at the Foundry, those men would come in and they'd sit in front of me and we'd begin to talk about the Lord. But then immediately they began to talk about, you know, go live with their girlfriends or whatever when they get out, and then they're going to get, they would just cry and profess Christ, and then they were going to go immediately live against Christ, you know. Well, see, they believed they had on a wedding garment, that they were going. They really believed it. And it's like, who lied to you to let you believe such a thing, right? And so if we love someone, we're gonna tell them the truth. We're not going to stop. It's not mean. We always do it in love. But we've got to be honest. We've got to be truthful. Because these men, they don't need a 12-step program. They need a one step to the altar of God and let God do his work. Let him clean that vessel. Let him baptize him in the Holy Ghost. And then you'll have a man of honor that'll walk these streets. And he'll share what he's received. But you, like I said earlier, you can't give what you don't have. And, you know, really, that's about all I've got today. I wish I'd have felt freer in my spirit. I gave it to God, and I pray that He touched our hearts. I pray that God, you know, challenges each one of us, you know, for what we're doing next, because He's not coming to this church over and over just so we can go to heaven one day. We're here to be the hands and feet of Christ, and yes, it's what we said earlier. When Christ was here, He was the meeting place if you wanted to meet God. But now we're the meeting place, and we're the temple of the Lord. And He says, don't defile this temple. And it says, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. I love this church body. I really, really do. God, there's something special here. Amen. And but God's not going to just confine it within these walls. He's not. It's time for us to feed, you know, to feed these people. And we need to bring them in. We need to compel them to come. And we need to look for the healing and not be the ones that just so used to the lame man sitting there, you know, in front of the temple gate. Because I think myself, how many times have I passed people? And then sometimes, I mean, I've left this church and God would move so strong. And then as I'm driving down the highway, I see somebody just sitting on the porch or something and thinking, man, you know, do they have the same experience that we have? Or on the way to church, you'll have people doing stuff, and it's like, see, most people don't know God. Most don't. This field is ready for harvest, like Jesus said. It's time. It's time. Well, we'll play a song, and if you guys will pray, if there's anything you want me to pray with you about, you know, just let me know. Come up here, and we'll pray. But just take a few minutes just to ask God to search your heart and show you what He sees and what He wants.